For January 25th, 2010, this is Showbiz Sandbox, a special episode, the podcast that brings you all the dirt on the news making headlines around the entertainment world. In Los Angeles, I'm Jay Sperling Reich.
And in New York, I'm Michael Giltz.
And why do we have a special episode today, Michael? Why don't you fill us in on what happened at 5:30 in the morning LA time?
This is the one day of the year my family and friends know they can call me in the morning. I sleep in. I do not set an alarm. I do not wake up early. 10, 11 is perfectly normal for me. This is the one day of the year I get up early because of the Oscars, of course.
So the Oscars are held today.
The Oscar nominations are announced live on the air. It's very exciting. I often think of going to London just so I could hear the Oscar nominations at, you know, like 1:30 in the afternoon and not have to wake up so darn early. But I drag myself out of bed, sit in front of the TV and watch the nominations. And then I run online now and find out all the categories. Used to be so bad. You had to sit there and scribble out the names as they said them just so you could remember who won what. And then later that day when the
newspaper came out. Well, nobody won anything. They were nominated, though.
Well, who won a nomination?
Right.
And then that, you know, the next day is when you'd get the full list. Now, of course, you can go online and get the entire list within seconds.
So not only can you get the entire list within seconds, but literally I woke up this morning because, you know, having covered the nomination announcements and waking up at 4 o'clock in the morning to go to them, although traffic was light in LA, which it never is at that hour, I just sleep in. I say, forget it. I'll just find out when I wake up. I woke up, my inbox had about 50 emails from the Los Angeles Times, breaking news, you know, the Oscar nominations about to start, you know, and then all these breaking news, you know, who was nominated and category by category. It's kind of
yeah,
funny.
They do it by, I get those emails too from some places. I don't get it. That just seems dumb. You know, if somebody really wants that information, they're going to be online. Maybe they'll be at your website or someone else's. But sending an email for every category is just obnoxious to me. They should stop it.
Well, when you were checking your emails this morning, whose names did you see or what films did you see coming up again and again? As being nominated.
I was watching it on TV. So the first thing I did was plop down in front of Good Morning America. For some reason, I always watch that channel when they announce the Oscar nominations. And Chris Conley, who I was a minor flunky at Premier Magazine when he worked there. That was my first job in New York. He was there on ABC talking. And of course, they announced Monique and the head of the Academy president announced the best 10 films of the year. It's 10 films again this year, just like last year. It's still controversial for a lot of people. I like it. But we'll have to see how it plays out and what it means. The 10 best pictures of the year, of course, are Black Swan, The Fighter, Inception, The Kids Are All Right, The King's Speech, 127 Hours, The Social Network, Toy Story 3, True Grit, and a real surprise, Winter's Bone.
And a real surprise, but I am so happy that that film is getting some recognition finally, because it is a marvelous film. And I was saying just last night during a conversation that I think it may be one of the best films I saw last year.
Oh, it's definitely on my top 10 list. And it was a real word of mouth hit. It was a genuine indie sensation. This is not a small budget film with big stars. This is an independent film put out by an independent company. And it ran for months and months. And it got big nominations, Best Picture, Best Actress for Jennifer Lawrence, and Best Supporting Actor for John Hawkes. So that's the big surprise winner of the nominations today, no question about it.
Well, and without 10 nominations, you wouldn't get a Winter's Bone in there.
No, you're probably right.
But would you get a True Grit? Do you think you'd get True Grit in there?
Well, if you look at the Best Director category, the five films nominated for Best Director probably mirror what the top five films are. And they are the four obvious ones: Black Swan, The Fighter, The King's Speech, and The Social Network. Those were all locks.
So you have Darren Aronofsky, David O. Russell, Joel and Ethan Coen for True Grit, David Fincher for The Social Network, and Tom Hooper for The King's Speech.
That's right. A lot of first-time nominees, by the way, which is very nice to see. So the top four were givens: The Social Network, King's Speech, The Fighter, and Black Swan. True Grit is probably the fifth of those five films. And that means if you look at the top 10 list, the bottom five movies are Inception, The Kids Are All Right, 127 Hours, Toy Story 3, and Winter's Bone. Now, those, you could say they're cheating because they have no intention of giving Best Picture to Inception or Toy Story 3, even though they are two of the most critically acclaimed and huge box office hits that are out there this year.
I think they should make a rule that if you get nominated for Best Picture, you cannot be nominated for Best Animated Feature, because everybody knows that Toy Story 3 is now going to win Best Animated Feature. It's almost
But then it would get nothing.
Yeah. I mean, yes, I understand what you're saying. I guess I don't like the fact that they have these 10 nominees and then Toy Story 3 is one of them. It's a waste.
I don't like that Toy Story 3 is nominated for Best Picture and grossed $1 billion, is one of the most acclaimed films of the year, and can't win Best Picture. I think Toy Story 1 or 2 absolutely deserved to win Best Picture. So did a number of other Pixar or Disney films. Beauty and the Beast would have been a very good win. I don't really like the animated film category because I think it just makes them guaranteed never to give the acknowledgement that animated films deserve.
Animators feel the same way.
Yeah, but I mean, you have the same thing with foreign film. Films can be nominated for Best Foreign Film and for Best Picture. And of course, sometimes if they get in both, they usually win foreign film and don't win Best Picture. But it's better than not acknowledging them at all. Toy Story 3 absolutely belongs in there, as does Inception.
Well, were there any major surprises for you in either Best Picture or Best Director besides Winter's Bone?
No, Winter's Bone was it. You could have predicted these months ago. You know, these were the movies that were going to be on the list. There's no question about it. You could have had Blue Valentine in there.
Yeah, that's what I thought. I thought The Kids Are All Right. I mean, that movie was okay, but not great. I mean, it was so traditional. I can't believe that movie got nominated for Best Picture.
But look at it, the support it has. You have Annette Bening for Best Actress, Mark Ruffalo for Best Supporting Actor, Lisa Cholodenko and Stuart Bloomberg for Best Original Screenplay. This is a movie they like very, very much. This didn't squeak in there. This is a very popular film. It did well at the Golden Globes. People expected Julianne Moore might have gotten nominated.
I'm surprised she didn't.
Well, you know, you look at the Best Actress category. This is one of the best years in memory for Best Actress. Sometimes it's hard to fill out the category for movies that Hollywood would acknowledge. But this year, it's very strong.
Well, Annette Bening, go to Best Actor and Best Actress then. So,
yeah. Best Actress are Annette Bening for The Kids Are All Right, Nicole Kidman for Rabbit Hole, which is another film that might have been on the Best Picture list, Jennifer Lawrence for Winter's Bone, Natalie Portman for Black Swan, and Michelle Williams for Blue Valentine, which is terrific.
Right. And, you know, what's interesting to me is not interesting, but I'm always heartened that when I saw Winter's Bone last year at this time in January at Sundance, and this is kind of why I like going to Sundance, because here are the films I saw in Sundance: Winter's Bone, The Kids Are All Right, Blue Valentine, some of the documentary entries. And really, when I walked out of Winter's Bone, I turned to a friend and I said, Jennifer Lawrence, she's going to be nominated for Best Actress next year.
Well, it was a very good year for Sundance, wasn't it?
Well, yeah. And next, you know, my friend said, well, look, why don't you let the nominations for this year come out first?
But it's true. Sometimes, you know, you said the same thing about Monique and Precious.
Yes. I mean, I don't know why I'm, you know, you just see that performance and you're like, well, how is anybody going to top that? I mean, I look at Annette Bening and I think that's her best. If she wins the award this year for The Kids Are All Right, that's a crime. Because
she is definitely a front runner alongside Natalie Portman. Either one of them could win, though. You know, and given the support for their movies, they're probably the front runners. Nicole Kidman, Michelle Williams, and Jennifer Lawrence. Jennifer Lawrence maybe is a wild card, but I think everyone expects it to come down to Annette Bening or Natalie Portman.
Yes, I would agree with that. And now for Best Actor, we have Javier Bardem for Beautiful, Jeff Bridges for True Grit, Jesse Eisenberg from The Social Network, Colin Firth for The King's Speech, and James Franco for 127 Hours.
And the Oscar goes to Colin Firth.
Yes, there's no way. I mean, if anything, it comes down to Colin Firth versus James Franco.
No, it's Colin Firth.
Yeah.
It's not Colin Firth versus anybody. James Franco is in there. 127 Hours was up for Best Picture. And of course, he's the co-host of the Oscars alongside Anne Hathaway. So, but they do like the movie. And if you like the movie, obviously, you have to give it to him as well, because he's in every frame, basically.
Right.
It's very nice to see Javier Bardem in there. Foreign language films don't often get nominated for their acting performances, but he's great and beautiful. And Colin Firth is going to win. That is the even money bet of the night. There's no way that he's going to lose.
Speaking of people who can't lose, let's do Best Supporting Actor. Christian Bale for The Fighter, John Hawkes for Winter's Bone, which was a surprise, at least to me, Jeremy Renner for The Town, Mark Ruffalo, as you mentioned, for The Kids Are All Right, Jeffrey Rush for The King's Speech. You know, both Mark Ruffalo and Jeffrey Rush have been nominated in several awards for these films already this year. So those aren't surprises. John Hawkes was, and everybody knows Christian Bale is walking away with this.
I don't think it's a walk away at all. I think Jeffrey Rush is a serious competitor. I think there's going to be a lot of momentum for The King's Speech. It won the Producers Guild Award. If it wins the SAG Ensemble, then I think you'll start to see a lot of change in momentum. Either one is worthy. Christian Bale very well might win. But it's a horse race. I don't think it's a given. King's Speech is such an Oscar movie. And I don't think The Social Network is a given. You don't want to get confused by critics' votes. like critic circles, New York, LA, Chicago, those are meaningless.
I agree with you. And everybody has always said, you know, people in the know, if you will, have said, look, critics are critics and the Oscar voters are Oscar voters. In fact, The King's Speech has the most nominations, yep, and then True Grit and then Social Network.
Right. And that's more a reflection of the type of movie it is and the performances that are in it. But, you know, it's not a, it's, you know, just like The Lord of the Rings didn't have a lot of acting performances, even though it deserved it. But King's Speech is just pure Oscar bait. I think it's a very commercial movie that appeals to Hollywood and the Oscars. It's made for the Oscars. Social Network could win, don't get me wrong, but it's a tight, tight race.
What about Best Supporting Actress?
That too is a tight race, and it's probably between two women in the same film, Amy Adams and Melissa Leo in The Fighter. Also nominated were Helena Bonham Carter for The King's Speech, Hailee Steinfeld for True Grit, and Jackie Weaver for Animal Kingdom, which I just saw a few days ago.
That's a good film. Another film I saw at Sundance.
A nice, impressive debut. I had a friend who felt it was all movie-ish. It wasn't real, about real people or characters, all style and gangster and, you know, flash. But I liked the performances. I thought it was pretty subtle, and she's a lot of fun as a maniacal evil mom. But the big surprise here is maybe Hailee Steinfeld. We weren't sure whether she'd be in supporting or lead actress. She's clearly the lead role in True Grit. And Jeff Bridges is clearly a supporting actor, but they're in the roles that they're in because of the status of the actors who play the roles.
Yes.
And Helena Bonham Carter is great in The King's Speech. Maybe Melissa Leo and Amy Adams could split their vote. They're both very much liked. I think if we're going to see The King's Speech win Best Picture, we'll probably see it win Best Supporting Actor or Best Supporting Actress. It could be misleading because The Social Network doesn't have the chance to win in either of those categories. But I think if they triumph over the front runners, then that will be a sign that that movie is going to hit for Best Picture.
I think they just keep nominating Helena Bonham Carter just because they want to see what wacky dress she's going to wear and how she's going to do her rat's nest of a hairdo.
But she had a very good year. She was also in Alice in Wonderland, which was a massive worldwide hit. That was this year. And she was very funny as the Queen of Hearts. And she's very good in The King's Speech in a very different low-key role. She's been doing a lot of out-there roles for a while. And this is a very nice, small role that she does very well.
Now, Best Original Screenplay was... Right. Here's a shocker. Well, not a shocker, because they nominate him every single time, and he never has a screenplay. Mike Leigh for Another Year, Scott Silver for The Fighter, Christopher Nolan for Inception, Lisa Chelodenko for The Kids Are All Right, and David Seidler for The King's Speech.
Yeah, Mike Leigh has the Woody Allen category. Woody Allen used to get nominated every year, and now Mike Leigh has that prestige category in the Best Original Screenplay section. There are other screenwriters on some of those films. You just mentioned the lead one on The Fighter and on The Kids Are All Right.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, you're right. Stuart Blumberg for The Kids Are All Right, Paul Tomasi, and Eric Johnson for The Fighter.
That's right. You know, my favorite of these, well, Another Year is a terrific film, but The King's Speech is fascinating. David Seidler came up with the idea for the film, contacted the royal family somehow, and said, would you mind if I wrote a screenplay about this incident in your lives? And the Queen Mother said, literally, the character played by Helena Bonham Carter apparently had someone respond and say, wait until I die.
And then she lived until she was like 150.
Unfortunately, she lived to be 150 years old. I mean, she lived forever. And he literally waited decades before doing this film. And it's a beautifully crafted screenplay. It's a model of a commercial Hollywood film. It's very nicely done. But my God, to have to wait decades to get that out there, he had a lot of time to revise.
Well, now he's up against Christopher Nolan, who did not get nominated for Best Director, and that just really surprised me. I mean, it's one of the few original films of the year, and it doesn't get, you know, it gets nominated for Best Picture, but it doesn't get nominated for Best Director, so David O. Russell gets nominated instead. It just really was a little surprising to me.
Well, if you look, though, the Fighter had a lot more nominations, a lot more support than Inception. Well, Inception had a lot of support in tech categories. But that's one of the things where if we only had five movies, it might have been the one where Inception was up for Best Picture and O. Russell got in for The Fighter, or The Fighter got Best Picture and Christopher Nolan got Best Director. You know, it's just one of those quirks that happen.
Right. Well, just moving along, because we don't want to keep you too long. Best Adapted Screenplay, 127 Hours, Danny Boyle and Simon Beaufoy. The Social Network, Aaron Sorkin was nominated and will win. Toy Story 3, I think there's like
nine. Gang of people.
Yeah, like John Lasseter, Andrew Stanton, Lee Unkrich, Michael Arndt. True Grit, Joel and Ethan Coen. Writer's Bone, Deborah Granik. So I'm glad Deborah Granik actually got nominated if anything, for writer. I mean, she could have gotten director, but at least she gets to go.
Deborah Granick and Anne Rossellini both adapted Winter's Bone. That's from the novel by Daniel Woodrell, who also wrote the book that the Civil War film Ride with the Devil by Ang Lee was based on. He's a terrific writer who's coming back into attention, kind of the way the author of True Grit is coming back into attention, Charles Portis. I'm a little surprised by Toy Story 3. I'm not quite sure why it's an adapted screenplay, but I guess it's because it's characters from a previous movie.
Yes, that's right.
So any sequel is going to constitute an adapted screenplay? If you make a sequel, it's always adapted?
Yep. Based on Toy Story and Toy Story 2, yes.
I didn't know that. Best animated feature, of course, three movies, How to Train Your Dragon, The Illusionist, which I'm delighted by, and Toy Story 3. I'm very glad that Illusionist beat out Despicable Me, though.
Well, yeah, I mean, Despicable Me. It would have been despicable if that film had been nominated.
Right, but Illusionist is one of the best films of the year, so I'm glad it got acknowledgement here. Best foreign film, I know there's a favorite of yours in there.
Well, Beautiful from Mexico, Dogtooth from Greece, In a Better World from Denmark, Incendies from Canada, Outside the Law from Algeria.
Now, well, I thought Dogtooth would have been one that would appeal to you. That has to be one of the stranger films to ever get nominated for Best Foreign Film.
I did not see that movie.
Oh, I thought you saw it at Cannes with us.
No.
Dogtooth is a truly oddball movie, and to see it, it's like a Pirandello play or a Harold Pinter exercise. It's very strange, and it's very fun. I didn't love it, but I liked it quite a lot, and I certainly admire it, and it's very fun to see it get nominated for Best Foreign Film. But Greece has had a really good run in the last few years. They have another excellent film called Attenberg, which comes out this year, which is also very, very good.
Now, I guess we can kind of wrap it up with maybe some best documentary feature. Now, you want to talk about Sundance films. Here are the films I saw at Sundance last year that are now nominated for best documentary feature. Exit Through the Gift Shop, Gasland, Restrepo, Wasteland. Lucy Walker and Angus Ainsley did Wasteland. And the only one I didn't see at Sundance, I saw at Cannes, Inside Job.
Yeah, Inside Job is one of my favorites of the year, as is Exit Through the Gift Shop. I'm hoping and believe that Inside Job will win. It's a very good year for New Video. That's the company that is putting out Gasland, Restrepo, and Wasteland. They have three of the five films nominated for Best Documentary Feature. Best Score, I hope that Trent Reznor and Atticus Ross win for The Social Network. I think their score is really bold. Best Original Song is interesting because it gives us a hint as to what the show might be like. You've got Coming Home from Country Strong, which could be performed by Gwyneth Paltrow. You have If I Rise from 127 Hours, which could be performed by Dido. You have I See the Light from Tangled, the Disney animated film, which could be performed by Mandy Moore. And you have We Belong Together from Toy Story 3, which could be performed by Randy Newman. So that's a nice mix of songs. It'd be interesting to see what they make out of them.
Well, who do you think is going to win Best Original Score? You said you wanted to see
The Social Network. I think it will win.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Also nominated were Alexandra Desplat for The King's Speech, Hans Zimmer for Inception, and A.R. Rahman for 127 Hours, John Powell for How to Train Your Dragon. It's Trent Reznor by a mile, I think.
Yeah, it's a very cool film. It's obviously very popular, and it's a very cool score. It sticks out as really innovative. Then you have a lot of tech categories. I'm sure Inception will dominate in them.
Well,
sure,
let's talk about just one, and that's cinematography. We have Black Swan, and I would pronounce his name, but I don't know how to. It's Matthew Libet. Yeah, I don't know how to pronounce that.
Wait till you get to the next one.
Ah, the next one I actually do know how to pronounce. Inception, Wally Pfister.
But doesn't it make you giggle?
Okay. Not until you said it. The King's Speech, Danny Cohen. The Social Network, Jeff Cronenweth. And let me tell you, I used to work with Tim Cronenweth, who is Jeff's brother. And of course, their father was Jordan Cronenweth, who worked, it was a really well-known cinematographer and worked with Francis Ford Coppola. True Grit, Roger Deakins. I think I'd have to see which one of these folks has won an Academy Award before, but I'd be shocked if Jeff Cronenweth won for The Social Network.
You'd be shocked if he did?
Yes.
Why is that?
Because it was shot on video and he's going up against Inception, which was really well shot.
Well, cinematography is a bit of a wild card. I'm sure a lot of the tech categories, sound editing, sound mixing, even art direction, and certainly special effects will go to Inception. But cinematography is not so clear cut. I don't think it's a given that it'll be Inception. It certainly is a deserving winner. But Roger Deakins obviously is a mainstay of Hollywood. you know, it's just a weird category where anything can happen. I don't think there's a clear movie that looks so beautiful that everyone will say that has to win. You know, some years you just know a movie's so pretty that it's
like
going
to
win.
Like Avatar, you just kind of know, hey, you had to build the cameras for it. You're probably going to win cinematography.
That's right. So now I wonder what kind of show we're going to have. We know that James Franco and Anne Hathaway are going to host. If you watched the morning news shows like I did, you saw them doing a bunch of ads to promote the Oscars, and they were shticking and goofing around. They were very funny together, actually. They had good chemistry.
Well, they better be funny, and they better have good chemistry, and they better liven up that show, because you want to know what kind of show we're going to have? Boring and long.
Well, I meant as far as what show the people can create. We've looked at Best Song, but you have a lot of good stars and young people, which is a nice change. You've got, you know, Jesse Eisenberg and James Franco. You've got Jennifer Lawrence, who certainly isn't a draw, but Natalie Portman, Michelle Williams, Nicole Kidman, Annette Bening, Javier Bardem, Jeff Bridges. You've got a lot of talented people, Christian Bale, Mark Ruffalo. It's going to feel like a young, sexy show. So we've got a horse race, The King's Speech versus The Social Network. King's Speech got the most nominations. They could make some good use of the music. And there are definitely some categories where people can watch to see if The King's Speech has momentum, especially supporting actor and actress.
Yeah, well, you know, we only have about 300 more award shows to go before the Oscars. So
No, that's not true. But finally, what do you think about overall a top 10 list? Do you think that's cheating, that they should be more selective, or do you like it? How do you think it feels? Should they do it next year?
Well, here's the thing. The Academy Awards were started and established to promote movies and to promote movie going. So, and that was, you know, back in 27, 28. So I look at that and say, 10 films for Best Picture. Okay, I get it. You want to promote every single one of them, which is why I think trying to promote Toy Story 3 twice, once as Best Picture and once as Best Animated Feature, is overkill.
But what do you think they're just cheating by trying to look cool by including Inception and Toy Story 3 when they actually have no chance of winning? Or do you think it's better and it's a better representative of how the year went?
It's a better representation of the year's best movies.
And if they only had the films that were nominated for Best Director, it'd be another very grim year. Black Swan, The Fighter, The Social Network, True Grit, and The King's Speech, which is leavened with some comedy. But that would be very all dramas, all adult, all rather staid in a way. It would feel very, very grim, I think.
I would agree with you.
At least they've got Inception and Toy Story 3, and you know, they can liven it up a little bit. The kids are all right. But what does it say about Hollywood in general? We've got a lot of small films in those lists. Like we've been talking for weeks now about the commercial success. Black Swan, The Fighter, The Kids Are All Right, Winter's Bone. These are small movies.
I think it says the same thing that is being said right now up at Sundance, where I think now 6 or 7 films have sold up there this year in Park City, Utah. You know, I think that it's saying, hey, you know what? Please don't just jam Transformers 902 down our throats. We actually want to see some original, interesting content.
And they're all commercial successes, which isn't a surprise, but they were made smartly on the right budget and succeeded very well. There's no leaden turkey that they felt obliged to include, or some movie that's struggling and needs the Oscars to help it get over the hump. You know, The King's Speech could expand greatly on this. It hopefully will get to 100 million. But these are all success stories, and it's a good sign for adult films, films geared towards adults.
And as always, I feel inclined to say, when Michael says adult films, he does not mean pornographic material.
That's an entirely different award show and a lot of fun, I must say. But we have Sunday, February 27th to look forward to now.
Right, and we have next week's podcast to look forward to as well. Until then, play nice.